lives. But Jesus, we love you. We really do. We sing it. We want to live it. And we want to open our hearts right now, open our minds, open our ears, open our eyes, open ourselves completely to receiving whatever that you would want to communicate into us. God, speak to us corporately, speak to us individually, speak to us from your scripture, and reveal Christ to us, Holy Spirit. Would you make Jesus known to us in this time, in this space? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I know they testified to this when they got back. I wasn't here, but they testified, I think, two Sundays ago, too. We brought the house of prayer to Kauai on the mission trip and served this church, and the team prayed day and night the whole time they were there, like 196 hours of prayer or something like that. They totaled it. How many hours? Whatever. I doubled it. He said like 90-something hours. You know, sounds more holy when you make it bigger, you know? And anyways, at the last day of the trip, there's a person in the church that had been praying for their idol-worshiping family for years and years and years. And on the last day of the trip, a revival hit just in the neighborhood. Their idol worshipers, they started literally breaking their idols in their backyard, repenting, confessing, getting baptized. And I saw the text from the pastor who said, I know it was because of the prayers that you came and offered in this place. So we're not just making things up. When Jordan says we're changing the world, we are changing the world when we seek the Lord in prayer. And that testimony gave me more faith for what we're believing and sowing into and building a house of prayer here to affect our city. Amen? Amen. So come and join the greatest movement that's ever hit the world. Come on. All right. Turn your Bibles. Let's open the Word. We'll make this a legal meeting. Make sure we go to church tonight. We're going to read Philippians 3, verse 7 through 11. We're in this Christ Crucified series where we are journeying with Jesus to Calvary and then into the resurrection. We are in Easter season, and we're really going to camp and walk this season with Jesus. There's something that's meant to strike us anew each year, each Easter season, where we just camp on and get a greater revelation of the power of the resurrection, that we would know Jesus, both his suffering and his resurrection. And so these are Paul's words, Paul's prayer. Really, it's Paul revealing his heart to the Philippian church, and he says, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. What Paul is disclosing as he writes from a Roman prison cell to the Philippian church is he's saying, my yearning is for Jesus' story to become my story. His life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, that his story would become my story. And the central theme of the whole book of Philippians, we don't have time to teach it all today, unfortunately, but the theme is that the story of Jesus, Paul was seeing his own life as a mini reenactment of the story of Jesus, and the whole letter is written to urge the Philippian church, would you join my example in following Christ? Would you follow me as I follow Christ? And would your life become a reenactment of the story of Jesus? That we would know him in his suffering, so that by any means possible, we could know him in his resurrection. That's the cry. That's my cry in preaching this. This is what I feel the Spirit of God is wanting to author in this Easter season, that this same yearning, we would catch Paul's prayer, we would catch Paul's heart, and we would join him and say, Jesus, I want to know you in your suffering so that I can know you in your resurrection. Amen? This is the story. This is the scriptures reveal that all things were reconciled to Christ Jesus. He is the one from whom are all things, through whom are all things, and to whom are all things. He is the creator of the heavens and earth, and the story of Jesus coming, dying on a cross, raising from the dead, ascending to glory, it is the cosmic story of redemption of everything. And that story is meant to become my story and your story, that we would live a mini reenactment of this and prophesy to the world that God is at work making all things new. That we would know him in his death, know him in his sufferings, participate in his resurrection. Amen? Amen. So we started last week, we looked at the servant heart of Jesus, the John 13 text, as he was preparing to enter in his passion. And we're going to go to Gethsemane tonight. We're going to take a bit of a journey from Gethsemane to the cross and create an opportunity to reflect, to meditate, to open our hearts to the sufferings of Jesus. And I just want to invite you before we do, before I just take us on this scriptural journey, to pray your own prayer right now, that you just say, Jesus, I want to know you in your sufferings. I want to become like you in your death, so that by any means possible, I can share with you in the resurrection. The passion of Jesus begins in Gethsemane, and this moment is, it's crowned, it's summarized by a prayer as our Lord is wrestling over the weight of the impending agony that he is soon to suffer. And this prayer is, he finally submits himself. He says, Father, this is, it's not as I will, but as your will. If this cup cannot pass, your will be done. And you see, Jesus, we get a window into the intense emotion his soul's experiencing, but this prayer, into your hands, into your will, I give myself. Your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. He relinquishes control. He relinquishes his grip on what he is clearly wanting to happen, which is, he's begging, is there any other way? God says no, the Father says no, and he says, okay, I'm gonna follow you, Father. I'm gonna trust myself to your will. And this relinquishing to the will of the Father was quite a costly prayer, because it was Jesus saying, I will follow you into what we could only describe from a human perspective as a series of events that are wildly out of control and terribly painful and evil. There's no other way of describing it. Wildly out of control, terrible suffering, and horrible evil. They're evil things that take place. And so let's just follow where the will of the Father took Jesus. This prayer quickly turned to Jesus being placed into the hands of a betrayer. One that he loved, one whose feet he washed, one whom he called to be a disciple and an apostle. And he's betrayed with a kiss. Father's will took him into the hands of one who would betray him. And from the hands of a betrayer, he was then led to the hands of scared religious leaders, scared self-righteous religious leaders. Religious leaders who slapped, slandered, and spit upon him. Father's will took him into the hands that would slap, slander, and spit upon him. From the hands of those religious leaders, he was then taken to the hands of worldly powers, of heathen rulers, Herod, Pontius Pilate. And we see that when he's placed into the hands of these worldly leaders, he's treated like a pawn in political power games. Herod and Pontius Pilate make a friendship that day. They make a political alliance as they pawn Jesus back and forth. Pontius Pilate is not concerned about the justice of this Jewish man. He's concerned about saving face with Rome. He's concerned with appeasing the people. The Father's will took Jesus into a place where he was a pawn in the hands of evil, powerful people. And then from the hands of evil, powerful rulers, he's placed into the hands of Roman soldiers. These were not helping hands. These were hands that were hurting hands. These were hands that were holding whips and scourges. They were hands bent on harm. And yet Jesus' surrender to the Father's will took him into hurting hands. And then from hurting hands, the harmful hands of Roman soldiers, he was taken to the hands of a stranger named Simon. Jesus relinquished to the Father's will to such degree that he was so out of control, he couldn't carry his own cross. He needed the help of a stranger, of somebody, of anybody that would help him carry his own cross to his own death. And from the hands of a stranger named Simon, he was then given into hands that were holding nails, three nails and a hammer, hands that were going to cement him to his death, cement him to this moment, this pain, this trauma, this evil, that you will never escape what is happening. And as he was nailed to the cross of Calvary, and he's lifted up, he's exposed to the hands of the mockers, the very people he was there to serve, the very people he was dying to save, mocking. If you're Messiah, save yourself. Ridiculing, rejecting. And as Jesus is hanging there, ridiculed, mocked, rejected, scourged, abandoned, beaten, traumatized, he prays another prayer, the bookend prayer to the Gethsemane prayer. He says, Father, into your hands I give my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus relinquished himself to the Father's will. And yet from his perspective and all these things, he was still being held by Father's hands. It's a great mystery. As I ponder this, questions come to my mind. Questions that I ask myself. Questions I'm going to ask you tonight. Have you known the pain of betrayal? That sharp, icy singe that aches and aches and aches and wakes you up out of a dead sleep when someone that you love has stabbed you in the back. Have you known that pain? I want to know you in your suffering. Have you ever been slapped, slandered, spit upon by a religious leader? By someone who should have known better? Someone who should have helped? Who should have spoke up, who should have protected. To know him in his suffering. Have you ever felt powerless? Like you were just a pawn in the hands of powerful forces and powerful people that were far beyond your control. Have you ever suffered injustice because of systems and situations that you have absolutely no ability to impact? To know him in his suffering. Have you ever suffered from hands that were bent on harm? Hurting hands. Hands that mistreated you. Hands that left scars not just on your body, but on your soul. To know him in his suffering. Have you ever felt so abandoned, so alone, and so broken that you needed the help of someone, anyone, just to get you through the day? To know him in his suffering. Have you ever been mocked, ridiculed, rejected by the people that you are seeking to serve and bless? Ones that you sacrificed to help. Those you've given your heart to. To know him in his suffering. Have you ever felt like the suffering and evil in your story is so great that you could never escape it? That your life would forever be defined and cemented by this or that? To know him in his suffering. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. For those who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us, will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the midst of all the sufferings of life, in the midst of all the evil things that we all must endure because we live in the midst of a world still under a yoke of evil, because we live in a world that is full of trauma and pain and sin and addiction, and hurting hands, and hurting people who hurt people, because things aren't the way they're supposed to be. Because of sickness and disease and death, because of all of it, we suffer. We all suffer, and in all the suffering, there is an invitation to surrender to Father's will. An invitation to know Jesus in the suffering. To come to the point where you relinquish control and trust that no matter how scary or painful or evil or dark it seems, no matter what kind of hands have mistreated you, no matter what types of circumstances you find yourself in, you are being held by Father's hands. This is Jesus. He was held by Father's hands. My line of work gives me a particular vantage point into human pain and suffering. I get the great privilege of watching Jesus move, watching glory fall. I've seen miracles break in. And I also get the privilege of being invited into places of deep pain, suffering, agony, and trauma. I've walked it myself, and I've seen it in the lives of many, many others. Life is hard. It's brutal. It's also beautiful and glorious. The question is not if we will suffer in this life. The question is, what will we do when we find ourselves in our sufferings? And as I see it, there's really only two decisions that we can make. two paths that we can choose when we're confronted with suffering, with pain, with trauma, with injustice, with sickness, with sin. We can choose the path of medication, or we can choose the path of lamentation. If we choose the path of medication, we will join the world in their worldly ways and seek for something to medicate and numb the pain away. It will bring temporary relief in a life of addiction and dissatisfaction, a life where we become increasingly disconnected with who we are, with who God is, and with reality itself. But the path that the gospel calls us to is the path to know Jesus in our suffering. And the path of lamentation is for those who choose to take their pain and bring it to Jesus in prayer. That when we find ourselves in Gethsemane, we suffer our way in the hands of the Father. We pray it to him, we offer it to him. And we say, God, let me know Jesus here. Let me know him. Let me participate with him in his suffering. Let me become like him in his death. Let me learn how to suffer well. It's those who choose this path. They are the ones who discover the great mystery and the great glory that Father's hands never let us go. That it's always Father's hands working to draw us from death to life, working to turn our story into Jesus' story. Karl Marx was completely wrong and deceived. Religion is not the opiate of the people. The call of the gospel is not opiate. It's the call to something real. It's the call to die so that you can live. It's the call to surrender your life to Father's hands, to let him make your story into Jesus' story, to know him in his death. Because if you know him in his death, you will come to know him in his resurrection. You will come to find real peace and real joy and real life. So if any of you are here tonight and you are not in Christ, You're not in Jesus. You're not walking with Jesus. You have not found the miracle and the beauty that comes in surrender to him. I want to say this to you. If you're searching for something real, if you're searching for real peace, if you're searching for real security in a very insecure and scary world, if you're searching for joy, you will not find it in this world. This world does not have it to offer. There is one way out of death and into life. There's only one path. And it's surrender to Jesus. It's to give your life to him. To let go of control. Say, here it is. I give myself to your hands. And a miracle takes place when we place our lives in the hands of Jesus. He takes our broken, hurting lives, and he slowly works to bring us out of death and into life. And a miracle takes place by the power of his Spirit. He reforms and refashions and remakes. And it happens immediately, and it takes a lifetime to live into it. So I want to give an invitation if you find yourself there tonight. I am not in Christ. I'm not a follower of Jesus. I'm curious. I'm a seeker. I'm searching. And you say, for some reason right now, something's happening in this moment. And I'm ready. I'm ready to put my life into Jesus' hands. I just want you to raise your hands right now. Just raise your hand. It just says, Pastor, that's me. Are there any hands? I'll wait, because if there's even one, it's worth it all. Is there anybody here tonight that says, I want to give my life to Jesus and trust myself to his hands? Well, we're all born again. And I also want to end with space. With space for God to minister to our hearts. I believe there's an invitation for many in this room tonight to relinquish control to Jesus, an invitation to come closer, to lament, an invitation to know Jesus in your sufferings, that you may be coming aware tonight that there's areas where you've chosen medication, you've whined or resisted or medicated or wanted to push away the suffering that your soul has or is enduring. There's an invitation tonight to say, I want to know you here, and I want to embrace this cross and embrace the suffering. And there's also a time for some of us to perhaps just reflect more deeply upon our Savior's sufferings themselves. So I'm going to have the worship team come. I'm going to open the altars for anyone that wants to yield themselves to Jesus. So I'm first just going to invite everyone to stand, if you will. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Holy Spirit, we invite you to minister to our hearts in this place. We invite you to embolden us with this prayer, with this heart posture. Lord, would your story become our story, Lord Jesus. For any of us here who have resisted the path of lamentation, God, would you turn our hearts tonight in repentance? If that's you, just come forward. Just telling the Lord, I choose you. I want to place myself into your hands, place my story, place my suffering. I want to know you, Lord Jesus. I want to participate with you in your suffering. I want you to form Jesus in me. If there's tears that are flowing tonight, just let those prayers flow. Let those perfect prayers flow and lament in the arms of Jesus. If you want to simply reflect upon the passion of Jesus, I'm just going to invite you to reflect, that you'd gaze upon the wonderful cross, and Holy Spirit, that you would reveal the sufferings of our Lord to us in this place. We love you, Jesus. We love you, and we want to know you in this place. We want to know you, Lord. And I have a picture coming into my mind. I feel I should offer. It's a picture of a branch grafted. The way that branches are grafted is the trunk is wounded, and the branch is wounded. And it's in the place where the branch is wounded and the trunk is wounded that the branch is placed into the wound of that trunk, and the grafting takes place. Without the wounding, there is no grafting. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And I want to invite you, church, to embrace your cross tonight, to embrace your suffering, because it is in our sufferings that we come to know him. It is in the despair and the pain and the loss, the hardship and the struggles that we become grafted to our Lord Jesus, because there is no wound that we endure that he has not himself suffered. So I feel for some of you, Jesus wants you to know, he said, my heart is ready and my heart is waiting for you. My heart is open to you. Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me. Come to me with your suffering. Come to me with your tears. Come to me with the injustice I know. Come to me with the groaning inside. Come to me, I know. Come to me. Spirit of God, have your way in us. Have your way in us. There's something of fear. I see 1 John 3, 4, I believe 21, that there is no fear in love, because perfect love cast out fear. And I have a sense that some of you, you've been afraid to embrace the suffering. You've been afraid to journey down the path of lamentation because it's almost like, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if I can recover from it. And I just sense that Jesus is doing something in some of our hearts, that he's removing the fear, and he's saying, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. My hands will carry you through. My hands will draw you from death to life. My hands will turn what the devil meant for evil, and I'll turn it to good if you'll come and place it into my hands. Are open. We're going to create space. The ministry team will float and minister to those. If you come forward, it's your way of telling us you would like prayer in this space. And if you want to stay where you are in a worshipful place, you're welcome to stay and meditate upon the beauty of Jesus our Lord. Love you, Lord. We welcome you to have your way in this time.